This audio file will cover Lesson 5 of our series Through the Armor of God. This lesson was originally given on August 5th in our Sunday morning Bible study, but was not recorded, and so this summary is going to be supplemented in its place. I won't go ahead and do any survey of what we've previously covered, because you can either read that on the PDF document or listen to that in previous Sunday morning Bible studies, but we're going to jump right in to the third piece of the armor, which are the shoes. And as we've been used to doing, we're going to look first at the particular piece of armor that is chosen, and then we're going to consider its spiritual corollary, or the spiritual attribute, characteristic, and quality that it represents. But let's start first by reading from verse 13. Therefore, take up to you the whole armor of God. God wants to strengthen you to stand, and he's ordained the armor to do that. So take it up, the whole armor of God, so that you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And so we consider in this lesson 5 the shoes of the gospel, or we could summarize it with this summary phrase, be proclaiming the gospel. As we consider the shoes here, we are reminded that a soldier's shoes are vitally important to his ability to march long distances and fight effectively. We discover that the Roman footwear was superior to most of the footwear of their time. The Roman footwear would be comprised of thick leather with sometimes pieces of metal sewn into the bottom that would form a kind of cleat that would cause them to have traction and be able to endure long marches and difficult terrain. And many times, the Roman enemy would find themselves retreating, hoping to be able to regather, and they were surprised at how quickly the Roman soldiers were able to overtake them. And that gave the Roman forces a great advantage over their enemies. Poor footwear would hinder the Roman soldier in his endeavors, but the right shoes ensured that he was ready for whatever may be expected in the fight. So shoes, while certainly indicating preparation, as do all of the pieces of armor, they specifically seem to address stability and advancing. The ability to kind of lock in, stand firm, hold one's ground, and then push forward. So, likewise, the believer must be prepared to be steadfast and to endure via the gospel of peace. That's what Paul is suggesting here by way of this piece of armor. He wants the believers to use the armor, to use the gospel of peace, rather, to give them stability and to help them advance. So what is this gospel of peace? Well, it refers to the good news that believers are at peace with God. The unsaved person is helpless, ungodly, sinful. He's an enemy of God, but the saved person is reconciled to God through faith in his Son. We see an extended discussion on this point by Paul in Romans chapter 5. And so he begins Romans chapter 5 by saying, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In summary, this is simply the marvelous truth that in Christ we are now at peace with God and are one with him. And we could ask the question, how does this knowledge that we have been reconciled to God, brought back to God in the words of 1 Peter 3:18, made one with God, now he's our Father, no longer our judge, what does this understanding, this knowledge of the gospel of peace do for us by way of stability and advancing? How does it stabilize us? How does it give us the wherewithal to be able to advance? And that question is actually answered by Paul in many places, but if we were to turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39, we would read, what is able to separate us from the love of God? And he goes off on this long list of things that cannot separate us from the love of God. This knowledge that we've been brought back to God gives us confidence that God loves us unendingly. That's Paul's first suggestion as to what this gospel of peace does by way of stabilizing and causing us to advance. It gives us the confidence that God loves us unendingly. It also gives us the confidence that God is on our side unremittingly. In Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? I remember, I believe it was in college, I heard a preacher at one point mention that we need to stop saying that God is for us, and that's arrogant, that's bold. We need to make sure that we're speaking correctly here, that we are on God's side. Well, I don't believe that he had been confronted with a few pretty clear verses of Scripture, one of which is found in Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? God is on our side, so we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear, Hebrews chapter 13. We see many times this incredible, grace-filled truth that God is for me. In fact, I'm dropping the reference right now, but in the Psalms, we see a verse in which David gloried that God is for me. So this gospel of peace gives us the confidence that God loves us unendingly. And it doesn't matter what men do unto me. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling in the moment. The gospel of peace gives me that stability. It causes me to move forward, giving me confidence that God loves me unendingly, that he's on my side unremittingly. And finally, he's fighting for us victoriously. In John 16:33, Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. That's the gospel of peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, he follows up by saying, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The gospel of peace gives us confidence that God is fighting for us victoriously. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, we discover that the battle is the Lord's. And that certainly applied to the physical battles that we read about in the land of Canaan throughout the historical books. But friend, it applies also to the spiritual warfare. This gospel of peace is indeed a stabilizing message that causes us to advance. It gives us confidence that God loves us unendingly, that he's on our side unremittingly, and that he's fighting for us victoriously. The gospel of peace also reminds us that the enemy, only enemy worth fearing, is the one that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. But that enemy is no longer our enemy. He's now our father. And so what we discover is that before the gospel of peace came in, we ought to have feared this great enemy. But now this enemy is no longer our enemy. He is on our side as our father, as our champion, as our general, fighting for us. In that message indeed is stability, is confidence, is boldness, is the strength to advance. The gospel of peace provides us with a solid ground of confidence that our greatest enemy now has already been defeated. We should have feared him who could destroy both soul and body in hell. But instead, before we were saved, in our blinded eyes, we were in the bondage to death, fearing death. But now that enemy is shown to be powerless and weak because our actual enemy, God, has been reconciled to us and us to him. And so our enemies have been forever done away with because of the gospel of peace. He is now our defender. And he has defeated death. This is the message of the gospel of peace. Victory is assured. No matter what the powers of darkness may throw at us, by way of doubt or deception, the gospel of peace proclaims the powerful hope of triumph. Truly then, in the gospel of peace is great strength. So take it up. Tomorrow, take up the message of the gospel. Proclaim it to yourself, so that you will stand stabilized and so that you'll be able to advance forward as well. But as we consider this piece of the armor, that as shoes for your feet, having the preparedness that comes by the gospel of peace, I think there's a second legitimate application that we should consider here. It appears that Paul may have chosen this image of the shoes of the gospel of peace, based upon Isaiah 52:7, which says this, "How lovely on the mountains," you'll be familiar with this, "how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation." Paul quotes that verse in Romans 10, and so it was certainly a verse that was on Paul's mind, that he had meditated on, that he could quote from the Old Testament, and it certainly seems that there's a parallel from that verse to our present context here in Ephesians 6. Some would deny this connection because they would say that the context of Ephesians 6 is not evangelism, but Christian living. They would say it's not about advancing, it's about standing, as we see so many times. They would say it's not about proclaiming, it's about fighting. So they would relegate the application of the passage of this piece of armor simply to what we've already said, to advancing oneself in the gospel message, to stabilizing oneself in the gospel message, using it personally to bring endurance, to bring progress, to bring strength. However, I believe that a legitimate application of this passage is to see in it a strength that comes through evangelism. I believe it is legitimate to see Paul's connection back in Isaiah 52:7. And here's why. I think this is allowable because, first, the many other Old Testament allusions in this passage, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, we see these allusions in the Old Testament. It's certainly in keeping with that that kind of usage for Paul to have a similar allusion in this shoes of the gospel of peace. Secondly, the main point of the context is actually less about fighting Satan and more about being strengthened in the Lord. That's the point. And so the point isn't necessarily evangelism, nor is it fighting. It's actually about being strengthened in God. Thirdly, the imagery of the shoes seemed to suggest some kind of activity. While the breastplate and the helmet and the rest of the pieces of the armor can be worn at a standstill, the shoes have the idea of progress and progression. And number four, this helps draw a distinction between the shoes of the gospel of peace and the helmet of salvation. If we simply treat the shoes of the gospel of peace as the gospel message that we should revel in, bask in, grow in, and preach to ourselves, then how it differs from the helmet of salvation is difficult to determine. But if we see in the shoes of the gospel of peace an allusion back to Isaiah 52:7, and therefore a secondary application that we should be bringing via the shoes the gospel of peace to others and this evangelistic emphasis, then we begin to see a distinction between the shoes of the gospel of peace and the helmet of salvation. And finally, while some would say this passage doesn't have anything to do with evangelism, it's not on Paul's mind, when we come to verse 19, we find out that that's really not the case at all. In verse 19, Paul's burden is evangelism. And so for these reasons, I think it's quite legitimate to see in this phrase, as shoes for your feet, the preparation that comes through the gospel of peace. In this phrase, I think we see two applications. First, strap on the shoes, be prepared to stand yourself. Secondly, strap on the shoes and be prepared to advance the message of the gospel to others. In other words, if this connection between this passage and Isaiah 52 is allowed, then we would conclude that God wants to strengthen us to stand by our own readiness to proclaim the good news of the gospel. In other words, as we choose to be ready to proclaim the gospel to others, God will strengthen us to stand ourselves in that message. Or to put it a third way, God has ordained to strengthen us through our own proclamation of the gospel to others. And friend, don't you know that by experience? When you are living missionally, prepared to pass along to others the good news in which we stand, prepared to give them the shoes, at those times, didn't you discover that God strengthened your own heart in that message and caused you to stand? Don't we discover a parallel between our own tenderness to fulfill the purpose of discipleship that God's entrusted to us and our personal commitment to obeying Christ, don't they seem to go hand in hand? The times when I'm most tender to my mission in life, the times when I see most clearly my purpose to minister the gospel, and the times when I'm ready to do that, are directly parallel to the times in my life when I've been the most sensitive and tender to God's leading, when I've been the most stable in what God was doing in my life, and the times that I've been the most strengthened to stand in the warfare of sanctification. I can often draw a line from my harshness or apathy in my walk with Christ and my unwillingness to speak on the behalf of Christ. But if I am willing to bring the shoes of the gospel to others, it's usually because it's overflowing out of a heart that has been blessed personally by the shoes of the gospel of peace. When we are readying ourselves to share the gospel of peace, we are readying ourselves indeed to stand. So, to summarize it and bring it to a head, we could simply say there's two applications here for you and me. As I head into my Monday, as I head into my Tuesday, I need to be girding on truth. We've already talked about that. I need to be living out that truth and practicing righteousness as I put on the breastplate of righteousness. So Keith, you need to be prepared with truth. You need to be practicing righteousness. And now you need to be proclaiming the gospel. There's power in the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of these shoes. There's power herein, the power of God unto salvation. So application one, as we consider be proclaiming the gospel, preach it to yourself every day. Plumb its depths, search its facets. Let its message of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ provide you with endurance and advance you beyond guilt, beyond sin, beyond meaninglessness. Let God's peace empower you. But secondly, since there's power in the gospel, proclaim it to others every day. Be ready and active in giving Christ's message of peace to him who is afar off, Ephesians 2, to others, so that by that mission, you might be strengthened to stand. Friend, God wants to strengthen you. And the battle tomorrow is going to be real. Oh, it won't be with enemies that you can see, but it will be with enemies that are stronger than those that are visible. Yet they remain invisible, and sometimes their voices come from within. Will you be strengthened to stand? So far, Paul has put within our grasp the armor of God that will be effectual to strengthen us to stand. That's the way God has designed it. No one who has girded himself with the belt of truth, strapped on the breastplate of righteousness, or put onto his shoes the gospel of peace, has ever found himself unable in the day of temptation to face the foe unvictoriously. No, God has ordained truth to transform. He's ordained righteousness to penetrate. He's ordained the gospel of peace to stabilize and cause advancing to be known. So tomorrow, proclaim the gospel. Wake up in the morning and begin to meditate afresh on the multifaceted wisdom of God. Consider peace, reconciliation, and cause it to stabilize you when guilt would cause you to despair. Cause it to stabilize you when temptation would shake the foundation. Cause it to stabilize you when meaninglessness causes you to despair. Furthermore, proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. When you are ready to give the gospel away, it is probably because the gospel has first been transforming your heart first. So meditate deeply, preach it to yourself, allow that to overflow into the proclamation of the gospel to others. And when you have been proclaiming the gospel and strapping on its shoes of peace, you will discover that you have been strengthened to stand. Friend, your battle tomorrow will be different than mine, but it will be the same foe. It will be the foe of sin and Satan himself. These are spiritual forces, but our armor is given by God and ordained to be effectual. So tomorrow, gird on the belt of truth. Be practicing righteousness and be proclaiming the gospel so that in those elements you can be strengthened to stand.